It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never wanted no handout. I stand out. Patience needed in this game. I never ran out. Cause all I ever wanted was a victory. Running circles around competition like it was 6 to 9. I gave everything on the court. Yeah. And when it's all over, let them say I'm the truth.
It's Chaz time.
It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never wanted no handout. I stand out. Patience needed in this game. I never ran out. All I ever wanted was a victory. Running circles around competition like it was 6 to 9. I gave everything on the court. Yeah. And when it's all over, let them say I'm
Hello, everyone. Welcome to True Sports Talk Radio. I am your host, Chastity Melvin, and you could have been anywhere in the world today, and you chose to tune into my show, and I appreciate that. Today, we're going to talk about what's hot and what's not in the 2016 NBA playoff semis, and I have on the show with me my co-host, Vincent Askew, NBA veteran, played with the Seattle Supersonic, Seattle, Portland. Vince, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you, Chastity?
Hello?
Yes. How are you? I'm here. Hello?
Hi, Vince. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Awesome, awesome. The show is starting, Vincent. I just introduced you as my great NBA veteran co-host. Tell everyone a few of the teams you played with the NBA and tell us a little bit about your career.
Well, first, I played at Memphis State University. It was changed to Memphis, University of Memphis, but I'm always a Memphis State guy. From there, I was drafted with the 76ers. I was there after my junior year, started for like the first 14 games and got cut. Went to the CBA, was there for 2 years with George Karl. Then I got picked up by Golden State, played there, played with the Sonics and Portland and Indiana. When I finished that, I started a little coaching. I'm sorry?
I said it's quite the journeyman.
Yes, definitely. The definition of a journeyman.
The definition of a journeyman.
Yes, that is me. Yes.
Well, thanks for being on the show today, Vincent. And like I said, like I introduced to the listeners, we're going to be talking about what's hot and what's not in the NBA playoffs 2016 semifinals, Western Conference semifinals, and the Eastern Conference semifinals. Let's start off with the Eastern Conference finals. Last night, Cleveland came back home and demolished Toronto Raptors at home. I think they went on a 23-4 run in the second quarter and just blasted them the entire game. Tell me a little bit of your thoughts about that series.
Well, when they tied it up, I knew, anybody in the basketball ball world. Yes, can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me, Vince?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay.
Now I can.
When they tied the series up, I knew that LeBron James going home, game five, the crowd would be into it, and they have more talent. If they play together and play smart, it shouldn't even be close. They have much more talent.
Well, do you think that the Cavaliers, when they went in Toronto, everyone's talking about the crowd and how hard it is to play there and it's so loud and just the home court advantage that the Toronto Raptors have. I know I played professionally, in the Europe and in the WNBA. And personally, when I played, I enjoyed the places that had a huge crowd.
Well, real players do. They do. Nothing against – but look, the crowd is the crowd. The crowd is great. I enjoy playing on the road. I think most players had a better game. Most good players had a better games on the road. But, they have some young guys, and young guys usually play well at home, Toronto that is. But I was shocked the second game. But, when you're a great team, when you go to play teams that – aren't as good as human nature to not take care of the little things sometimes. You kind of overlook them. But the fourth game kind of shocked me.
What do you think? do you think the Toronto Raptors have a chance to win at home, or do you think Cleveland is, well, like you said, it's human nature. You blow a team out, you know you have a better team. You blow them out twice at home. You travel on the road. You're not as focused as you would be because you just don't think they'll come out with the same intensity. Do you think the Cleveland Cavaliers have the maturity, you know, besides LeBron James, to go into Toronto and close the series, or are they going to – do you think Toronto has a chance to force a game seven?
Well, piggybacking off what you said, they have great nightclubs in Toronto also. But as far as them coming back and winning, Toronto, no, it's a wrap. Last night game, I know it was a blowout, but some blowouts mean a little bit more than other blowouts. And I think LeBron and them are kind of tired of seeing them, so I think they'll shut it down tomorrow. Cleveland will end it tomorrow.
What are your thoughts on LeBron James, as he quoted about himself last year? He said that he was the best player in the world. And everyone that follows me with my True Sports Radio blog, they know that I'm a huge LeBron James fan. I was quite disappointed in the last game when they sagged off of LeBron and he didn't even attempt the jump shot. And, you know, all my friends are quick to text me and say, he says he's the greatest in the world, and look how he plays. You know, they feel like he – you know, I guess some words they would say, like, he's a punk. He, you know, he plays down sometimes. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm just – when you do say you are the greatest player in the world, like, what type of mentality does he have when players just sag off of you? Like, you know, we both played pro, and depending on the system, there were certain players, you know, you have to sag off. You can't let them drive. There's certain defensive strategies that teams take. And in 2013, San Antonio used the same defensive strategy. They were just going to sag off, and LeBron had to beat him from outside. Why do you think he, like, goes through these different lulls where he doesn't take the shot, or sometimes he'll take the shot, or, like, he's always in the gym working? Like, what is the thing with LeBron James? Like, what is it? What do you think?
Well, a couple things. One, LeBron James plays the game the way it should be played. You know, just because – they leave you open don't necessarily mean at that point that that's the best shot to take. I understand what you were saying. I mean, some of those shots he should have taken, but in the playoffs, things are magnified. You know, your weaknesses are magnified. And, you know, with him, you got to pick your poison. And his weakness really is the jump shot. And I think sometimes, I don't care how good you are, sometimes it'll get between your ears and you start thinking about it so much that, you know, it becomes a handicap for you. So, but he's a great player, and he'll bounce back. He's the kind of guy that, you know, he hear all the critics throughout his whole life, and he usually comes back and prove people wrong. So I think he'll do that.
I definitely think he does always bounce back. I would just like to see him be more aggressive sometimes, because, I mean, as a fan, you just feel like you want to see him just close out the game, like just
right.
Go ahead and dominate and get it over with.
I understand. You're a big LeBron James fan. I definitely understand. But, hey, he hadn't been in the league 3 years. He's been in the league 13 years, right? So
and
he
he's
is who
about
he is.
To – he's been in the league 13 years, and basically you can say half of his career he's been into the NBA Finals, because basically
right.
They're going to beat the Toronto Raptors. He's going to make the NBA Finals
right.
for a sixth time
right.
of his career. He's been playing nonstop for the last 6 years. Do you think that has taken a toll on his body? Do you think that's why he's trusting his teammates more and playing more relaxed, per se, as opposed to the past few years where he had to dominate? He played 48 minutes nearly and did everything for his team. Now he's just kind of taking a lesser role.
Well, it's a couple things. Now, I love LeBron. Don't get me wrong. Don't judge me off what I'm about to say. But Father Time is undefeated. And at a certain no, seriously. Every great player, eventually, it comes to a point. He's not there yet. But you never know when you get at a certain level when it will come. And remember Peyton Manning? A couple years ago,
yeah.
Peyton Manning was the best player in the history of the game. Last year, man, you felt sorry watching him play because Father
yeah.
Time. And he's just losing the step here or there, and he has to conserve his energy because he's older. I mean, he's only 31, I believe, but in basketball years, and as long as he's been playing year round, those are dog years. I mean, he's really older than that. So it's I believe it's wear and tear. I believe it's him just being smart and trying to see if some of these guys can do it when the heat is on.
Yeah, he has to. I mean, he definitely has to make sure that these guys can step up and play, because Kyrie Irving definitely needs to take the challenge and step up and play. And I agree with what you said as far as playing year-round. Personally, in the WNBA, all of the players have that problem, because we play in the WNBA
right.
in the off-season, and then we go travel overseas to play in Europe. And
wow.
There was a big frenzy last year because Diana Taurasi decided to take a year off. But like you said, father time has
it. Off. I mean, I don't know if you can say that on radio, but I was.
No, we can,
because
we
I
can
love watching her play. Yeah, I love
yeah,
watching her play, man.
Yeah, we can say. Yeah, we can. That's a good thing about having your own show. You can say what you want on here. But like,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Seriously, you know, I played year round, and not until the end of my career did I realize, like, in your mind, you're thinking like, okay, I can still go, but your
right.
body's saying something different. And
right.
I was happy that Diana Taurasi quickly, you know, picked up on that. Like, she's not having
yeah.
the same enthusiasm
yeah.
that, like, something's going on, because you just, like you said, father time can't be beat. And when you consistently
yeah. Yeah.
go, you know, your body is just going to shut down. So definitely that probably does have an effect on LeBron James. But he's still King James, and the Cleveland Cavaliers will definitely get to the finals. And I
oh,
hope
yeah.
he brings one to the land. Cleveland Rockers was my first pro team. I love Cleveland fans. Shout out to all Cleveland fans. I hope they get a
Yay.
Championship this year. I really do. So,
I don't know about all that, but I mean, I love Cleveland too. It's a great town. It's a great town. But you know me, I'm a Westbrook OKC dude. Have always been that. So, but I like Cleveland. Cleveland has a strong team. They have a lot of deficiencies, but they have a strong team.
Clearly, speaking about Russell Westbrook, and you and I
yes,
go
sir.
Back and forth about him a lot. Leaving
yes,
the
we
Eastern
do.
Conference semifinals, we'll move on to the Western Conference finals, because you brought up his name, Russell
yes.
Triple-Double Westbrook.
He's
carrying the Jordan brand right now, and he's dominating with Jordan-type fashion. What
yes.
is the biggest difference that you have seen in him in these playoffs, in this playoff series with Golden State Warriors?
Composure at the right time. Stand on attack mode. Just a desire, a hunger to win. I mean, his game never will look real as sexy and as beautiful as some other people that play, like Steph Curry and all that. He has a beautiful jumper and all that. That's not Westbrook. Westbrook is you got to take the good with the bad. And the good outweigh the bad by 100, I believe. He makes, you know, bad decisions down the stretch at times, because his mentality is to attack, and he's always played the two guard his entire life, even though he's a point guard now. But he loves the lead, and his IQ is much higher than people give him credit for. So I've always – and another thing, it's a lot of great players, but name one player who plays hard every night in the NBA. I can't name one other than Westbrook.
LeBron James on both ends of the floor.
I'm not talking about scoring. LeBron plays defense initially, but if you swing it a couple of times, he gets lost. He ball watch, and his feet are kind of slow now. I mean, he's a great player.
You're killing me, PD. You're killing me. LeBron James plays.
No, you
the
want
game.
Me to be honest. He don't play as hard all the time. I mean, LeBron's LeBron. He gonna. Hey, the game is boring to LeBron sometimes because he is great. His mind, his IQ is incredible. And to get today's game, he has a huge advantage because he's thinking, he's playing chess a lot of times, and it's too easy for him. You know, the game is too easy for him. But he has all the step. I mean, everybody loses a step every now and then, Chastity.
I never lost a step. They just thought I lost a step.
Wait, except you. Exactly. But no, I really don't. I don't see anybody that plays as hard as Russell. I mean, he's out rebounding the Warriors' whole team, other than Draymond Green, and that's only about 2 rebounds. He's a point guard.
No, I agree. Russell Westbrook does play the game hard on both ends of the court. He goes all out, and that's why you kind of like you just got to love him more than you hate him. But when we talk about hate him or when people are hating on him, my biggest concern is I was never one of the ones that
thought
Golden
State. Well,
they may be honest. I never was one to think that Golden State was, you know, OKC didn't have a chance against Golden State. My own issue was if Golden State and OKC had a close game, I didn't trust Russell Westbrook. First of all, we haven't had to see a close game. They pretty much
have
both teams have
Golden
gotten the lead.
Have you seen Golden State in a close game? I think a lot of times, this is not taking anything away from certain players. A lot of times, other deficiencies in your game are overlooked because of your greatness. Because you can score a lot of points, the turnovers that's usually plagued you throughout your career are being magnified now. You understand what I'm saying? The defensive
lapses. I do understand. I do understand, but Russell – Vincent, okay, we're both watching the series. Everybody's watching the series.
Right.
And, I mean, those of us that have a higher basketball IQ and really watching the game, I will say this. I'm extremely happy with the way Russell Westbrook is playing and being a leader on the floor. Like, in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter, there are times when I've seen him pull the basketball back out. He's finally hitting Kevin Durant, like, in rhythm to shoot the ball. Like, he's not taking, like, 3 or 4 dribbles. And then Kevin's standing over there, like, lounging. And then he passes him the ball. Like, he's dropping dives to all – not just Kevin Durant, but all of his players in rhythm to score the basketball. And that makes me – you know, that obviously makes me become a big fan because that was my biggest question. What is – I mean, can he do that? Can he step up and really just – be more mature and be more of a leader? Because in those games, especially when they lost to Golden State and then just games throughout the season, he would come down and jack up a shot, you know, keep jacking them up, you know, just ignore his teammates. And you're like wondering, like, well, what's wrong with this dude, you know? But
well, it's the same thing that other than LeBron James, he's a little different than the guys I'm about to name. But Jordan, before Jordan was convinced by Phil Jackson to – you know, share the ball with your teammate. I mean, he was pretty, I guess, selfish. Kobe Bryant, you know, when you're confident in yourself, you know this. I mean, you didn't have too many assists yourself. So when you're confident in yourself, when you're confident in yourself, sometimes you think until you grow up and really get it, sometimes you think you can do it on your own, and that's where he was. And you were right about it. You were right.
I think every player, especially every young player, when you come in the league, you always want to try to prove yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron James was great enough that he does play the game the right way, so he was able to pass a little bit more. But for the majority of the players, and, you know, Russell, people ignored him. They told him he wasn't going to make it to the NBA. He had his little story. And where's the number 0 and all? Just like Draymond Green basically playing for Golden State, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. You know, players have to
different talent level now. Go ahead. I ain't gonna get into that.
No, we're gonna talk about Golden State in a minute, but we have to give kudos to your boy Russell Westbrook because he's definitely playing big time basketball. And I just hope that he can finish it out because you don't want to think that Golden State can come back and win 3 games in a row, but
Golden State is done. They're done. I mean, I know they have the reputation of doing this and that and all of that, but, man, we're not going off of reputation. I'm going off what I see. And what I see is they have some good players. I think their ball movement is overrated when you take away certain things. But they have a great team. They have a mature team, and that's what's scary about them. You know, they're selfless. And people talk about the way OKC plays as compared to the way those guys and San Antonio play. Well, OKC has better players. And sometimes when you have better one-on-one guys, they tend to go one-on-one sometimes, you know. But at the end of the day, I'd rather have that ball in Westbrook and Durant hands than I would Maurice Spates or Harrison Barnes, you know. And so, but they play beautiful basketball. I'm not taking anything away from them, but
if you have the ball, if you have the ball in Russell Westbrook's hands or Kevin Durant, you're still in good hands. You're still in good hands because both of these guys can dominate and can score, and they're playing with a high level of maturity
right
now.
Yeah, if they're playing right, if they're getting in the paint, not selling for jumpers. If they're getting in the paint, I trust them. But when they settle for jumpers, I'll be like, oh, my God.
This is the best. Speaking of settling for jumpers, this is the best I've ever seen Kevin Durant play consistently and really be efficient. Like taking the ball inside when he needs to, shooting the jumper when he needs to, like you said, not settling. And it's been phenomenal to watch. It's just been very entertaining. And if he keeps playing like that, like you said, basically Golden State is done. And I don't know. I'm not sure.
He got to stop turning the ball over, though.
Well, that's what Kevin Durant's done in these last two games. He hasn't been.
But
I don't know.
He
has to
stop doing it. God.
But Vincent, we all have that one play when we play that we thought we would try to do. Like we see some other player do it, and we're like, "Oh, that looks good. Let me try it." Kevin Durant, for some reason, has fell in love with trying to thread the needle when he gets double teamed.
Yeah, man, you're
not working for him.
God, and he can't do it. And just be who you are. Look, I would rather Kevin Durant to shoot the ball at the goal instead of make that pass, man. I don't care if three people on him. I would rather him throw the ball at the rim than to make that little soft bounce pass, man. I'd be like, oh, God.
But, Vincent, you know you had one play you were trying to do every game.
Well,
trying to do something.
I know. But how many times you got to turn it over to stop doing
it? I started saying, every time he does that, I'm like, hold on to the ball, Petey.
God,
you're killing me. Like,
man.
Just get over it. Like, get over trying to thread the needle. It's not your forte.
He's a scoring machine.
Yeah, when you're shooting that shot, and yeah, there's some things he can do that he's really sweet with.
And
that's what he should stick to. But if he gets back to trying to thread that needle, then Golden State has a chance.
Yeah.
That's their only chance.
Let me ask you a question. Who do they think is the best player in the league if they don't think it's LeBron?
My friends think the best player in the league. I will say a lot of my friends have jumped on Steph Curry's bandwagon, but a lot of people think it's Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook.
All right. I love all four of those guys. So nobody else is in that. Who do you think are the best four or five players in the league?
Okay, well, number one is LeBron James.
Okay.
Number one is LeBron James. This season, number one is LeBron James. Number two is Stephen Curry. Number three is Kevin Durant. We're going to talk about Steph Curry soon when we get to the Western Conference, Golden State.
Please.
Number four is Russell Westbrook. And the fifth spot I would probably give right now, I would have to give it to Kawhi Leonard. But I don't know. I also like Anthony Davis, in the fifth spot. But he didn't make the playoffs, and he's not on the championship team, but he's deadly.
No, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about who you think the best players are. So you think Anthony Davis is better than – now, let's take the character out of it or the reputation.
I might have lost you, Vincent. Are you there?
Do you think – can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
Hello?
You now. We're not – Yeah, I didn't hear you. What did you say? It cut out for
a
second.
We're taking away the reputation. Do you think Anthony Davis is a better player than Boogie Cousins?
Yes, I do. I do. I think he's a better player. It definitely between Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins.
You don't
it could
too
be
sure
no.
About
it
that,
could be.
Man.
Well, no, it could be a possible tie because we haven't seen them play in great games. Like, they're not on championship playoff caliber teams. So they're just playing regular season basketball. So right now, for me, it could easily be a tie because I haven't seen them with any pressure, with any dominance in the postseason. And, of course, that's what when you become great.
Yeah, that's true.
So right now they're
rank Green? A lot of my friends rank Draymond Green in the top 10, and I hear a lot of these – expert analysts, ex-players say that Green is a top 10 player in the league. I can't see it myself, but what do you rank Draymond Green?
He can't
dribble left. He's not a good shooter. He can't pull up and shoot. He has heart, but heart has nothing to do with skill, does it?
Well, I will say this. Heart has nothing to do with a contract, or I would have had some big contracts when I played professionally.
You ain't lying.
So if you're trying to pay Draymond Green and you're paying him off of heart, which I don't doubt, I don't think any teams do that. Like I said, if you got played for heart and sacrifice, then a lot of players would get paid. Do I think Draymond Green is the top 10 player? No, I don't. I think he's in a great system. And sometimes I feel like there's a lot of great analysts out there, a lot of people I look up to and I think are fun to watch. But sometimes they miss that player perspective as far as in professional basketball, there's a system, you know?
Right. Right.
And if a player gets in the right system, they look great. Just like I used to say about Joe Johnson when he played with Steve Nash and then he got that big contract to Atlanta and hasn't done anything since. Amari Stoudemire, the same thing. They're good players, but when you're playing with a great player, it can sometimes get overshadowed. Like Amari, after he left Steve Nash, it was just like, okay, dude, you got to do more than dunk, you know?
Byron Scott. Byron's one of my best friends. Byron Scott. He's one of them. I mean, with Magic, he was huge, right? He was big time.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a great guy. Great guy.
But I think Draymond Green can improve his game, but I think he just has to be in that right system to look a certain way. And, I mean, that's a lot of players. But do I think he's worthy of a big-time contract? I mean, if I'm trying to pay my money, I'm not. If I'm the GM, I'm the organization, you can't pay someone off of their heart, you know, and sacrifice.
That's right. Hey, this is what has been on my mind because I've heard the same thing all year about LeBron and Steph Curry. Now, being the best player in the world, don't you have to be able to do more than one or two things? I think. You're a player. Now, being the best player means that you're not just
You cut out again, Vincent.
Scoring. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. So,
hey,
I missed it. LeBron James and Steph Curry, you have to be one or two things. What are those one or two things?
No. If you're called, those two guys are considered the best players in the world by everybody out here on TV. If you're the best player in the world, I believe you have to be able to do more than one or two things. I believe you have to be a complete player, an all-around player that rebounds, assists, play defense, get players involved, and can score. That's just my thought on being a great player. I thought Michael Jordan was the best player when we were playing because he could do all those things. It was other guys that were good players, but I don't think they were great players. You know, so – What makes a great player to you, the best player in the world? What makes the best player in the world to you?
The best player in the world to me is a player that makes their team better, a player that just changes the entire game for their team. And that's why I think right now LeBron James is still number one, the best player in the league in the world. Because just his presence on the court, whether he's scoring, whether he's passing, whether he's playing defense, whether he's making his teammates better. LeBron James does make his teammates better. He does make his teammates better.
I agree.
He gives them confidence. So I think that's why and Steph Curry is a little bit right behind him.
But I think Steph makes his teammates better too, just by his presence.
Exactly. That's why I said one and two. I mean, Steph got MVP, but I also think Steph had his a consistent team. Like he's had his teammates together this year,
right.
So they came
right.
out and they didn't really have to change anything. I mean, Steve Kerr didn't even coach the first half of the season, and they were great without their head coach. So they already had their chemistry. Meanwhile, LeBron James is still meshing with Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and he finally gets them together coming into the playoffs. But
what about
didn't.
Westbrook?
Westbrook
don't make his teammates better?
Westbrook is definitely making his teammates better in the playoffs. Has he done that all season?
Listen, he was what? During the season, he averaged 10 assists a game, right?
Yeah, but they would lose random games. I don't think that confidence level was there.
I mean, when you go out of town and you – let me just tell you. When you go to Memphis – I'm from Memphis. When you go to Memphis and play Memphis –
just be honest.
Yes. When you go to Memphis and play Memphis, you go to, you know, certain cities, your concentration may not be as good as going somewhere else that's nationally televised. You know, you may be out the night before. You may have played the night before. You know, so some guys are not as – some teams aren't as mature throughout the season as other teams. But now in the playoff, he averages, what, 12 assists a game, 11.8?
He just had a triple-double last game. No, I think what Russell Westbrook definitely makes his teammates better, but are you saying year-round he's I think he was missing that leadership capability. I mean, that's one of the things that you got to have. And like you said, I definitely understand professional traveling around certain teams back-to-back. You can't have the same focus and the same intensity. But I think Steph Curry and LeBron James, and I think Russell will get there. I think definitely after this year, there might be a difference in him next year as far as being a better leader during the regular season. Was he that leader this entire season in the regular season this year? No. But he also had a new coach. He had a different coach that he had to learn under. So he has the capability to be that player.
Does he have do we average more rebounds than LeBron?
I think they're like neck and neck. It's 8 or 9.
Now, does he average more assists than LeBron?
Well, he does average more assists because LeBron, he's leading the triple double, so he definitely averages more assists. And
Steals?
I think LeBron would average more assists if he could get more people scoring in the paint.
They shoot. They're jump shooting teams.
If you're a jump shooting team, like he drops dimes to people on the 3-point line, but that's a different percentage as opposed to Cantor and Steven Adams dunking inside the paint.
I mean, hey, but you got to be as the facilitator. You got to get to the paint. LeBron passes are you can kind of read them because he's not looking at the goal to score. I mean,
yeah, no,
he's just playing. He's just playing against the right people. That's what it is.
I think Russell Westbrook is leading in the Jordan brand, and I think he has the potential to be there. I also think Kevin Durant, whatever he decides to do, if they get past Golden State, they win a championship. If these two guys stay together, or Kevin Durant decides to leave, that's another show. But I think they have the capability to really step up and really, you know, make everyone question who is the best player in the world right now. I mean, because like you said, Father Time, you know, gets everyone. LeBron
watching
James
the playoffs right now, you and everybody listening, watching the playoffs right now, who's the best player in the world?
Watching the playoffs right now.
Yeah, go off the eye test, not reputation, not who the world loves, the eye test. Because Russ ain't going to go to dinner with you.
The eye test right now, the most lethal player would be Kevin Durant right now.
Okay. All right. Who's second?
Hold on, Vincent. We have a caller. Let's see. We have a caller calling in. Let's check out our caller right here. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, how are you? Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Courageous Rain. I'm actually calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, Rain. What's going on? And what do you have to say to Vincent and I today? Who's your pick? What's going on with the NBA playoffs? What do you think?
First of all, I want to give a big shout out to you. I love the show, love listening in, and I appreciate, you know, your standpoints and your logic. So big shout out on that. Keep it moving. Second, I want to say that, hey, I got my money on OKC. Can I say that on the air? I'm going with OKC.
Yes, you can. That's my guy right there. That's my guy.
Yeah. I just want to the reason I called in, I got into this yesterday actually. My argument was I got OKC all the way, but we actually went back and forth over the depth of Cleveland. And do you feel that Cleveland has the depth to beat Oklahoma?
Rain,
I'll
you have to
you
come back in.
First.
We lost the connection with you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard him.
He said his question was, do you think that OK? Would you say you think OKC has the debt, or Cleveland
exactly.
has the debt to compete? I think that OKC is the deep. I've been telling people all year. I think they're the deepest team in the league. Period. OKC. The way they use the players, the individual talent. I think that Cleveland has good, serviceable guys. Like Dellavedova is a good guy, knows how to play. Who else is on their bench? Shamba is a good defender. Fry, spot shooter, you know, knows how to play. But I think OKC has more depth myself. But I may be biased. But what do you think, Chaz?
I definitely think OKC is playing the best basketball out of any team in the playoffs right now. I think they are, you know, they're very dominant. But, you know, I'm a LeBron James fan and I'm a Cleveland fan. I want him to bring a championship to the land. But right now I'm kind of nervous because Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, Rain, as we say, them boys are playing lethal and dominant right now. And it's kind of scary.
Oh, yeah. I'm with it.
Well, Rain, thanks for calling in, and I appreciate you listening to the show, and thanks for your comment.
Thanks,
Rain. Always, y'all be blessed. Keep up the good work. Rain out.
Thanks.
Rain,
man, you were glad to hear that. You were glad for our first caller to talk about OKC.
He's a smart guy. You have great callers to call in, man. But I'm sure there's always people out there that definitely don't agree with me, and that's okay. That's a good thing.
It is okay. That's why that's so fun to talk about sports and get the different opinions and I mean it's just all talk. At the end of the day, we're not the players. We don't know what they're thinking. We're not inside of them. But it's fun
it's
to talk
fun.
About. It's fun. It's all fun.
Yeah.
And moving right along, we know OKC is dominant, but we know that the 73-win team, the history-making team, Golden State Warriors, are down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. Do they have a chance to at least win this game at home and try to work themselves back in the series, Benson?
Do they have a chance at home? Yeah, they have a chance. They definitely have a chance. They're the champs. They're trying to talk themselves into believing that they can do it, you know, so that's big. That's always good. It's going to be tough. It's mental with Draymond right now. It's very mental. And they have to rebound. If they rebound the ball and don't turn it over, they're very lethal. But the rebounding is the problem. They rebounded. They out-rebounded OKC, I believe, by 9 in the second game, the game they won. But that's a tough task. You know, they really have to be linked in, and they really have to move that ball. If they move that ball like they usually do throughout the year now, we have a different series. But I think the switching and the physicality is affecting them and the length of OKC. But can they win the game tonight? Yes, they can.
But can they come back and win the series? There have been
no.
a few teams with great players. I think they talked about Larry Bird, some other guys who came back. They were down 3-1 to win a playoff series. Do you think Golden State with Steph Curry, do you think he's great enough to lead his team back?
I think he's a great player, but I don't think they're going to grow anymore. And I think that those rebounds and listen, man, it is what it is in sports, in basketball. If you rebound the ball and you're killing them on the offensive rebounds and you got two of the best players and other guys that's playing, you're not going to win. The only way they'll win, they got to rebound. They got to rebound the ball. And
this is true.
And they can't
this
stop
is...
OKC. They can't stop OKC on defense.
The only people who can stop OKC at this point, and you know,
it's
if they
OKC,
stay focused,
OKC.
It's OKC. Yeah, Russell Westbrook is the only person that can stop himself right now, and that's
right.
if he reverts back to his old ways. And
he's not gonna do that.
It doesn't look like he's gonna do that.
No,
a lot of people.
I mean, you're gonna get two or three a game from Russ. You're gonna get that now. I mean, that's part of who he is. That's the DNA. He's gonna give you two or three. Where you say, man, what are you doing? But, you know, but I can live with that.
What a lot of people, some people said Draymond Green was really affected with, you know, 2 days, 48 hours thinking about whether he was going to get suspended or not. And I've never been in that situation as a player, but I'm sure
it takes its
toll because you don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it does. Ray Lewis was accused of something when he played in the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
I think he got the MVP in the Super Bowl. Listen, his skill level, I mean, it may have affected him mentally because he talks a lot.
Yeah, he got the MVP.
I mean, he talks a lot. Draymond's skill level is
Are you there,
exposed.
Vincent?
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I said Draymond Green is, I love him. He's my kind of guy. He's fiery. But his skill level is not as good as people think. I mean, it's really not. And that's what he's struggling. That's why he's struggling. The length and guys not going for that pump. If guys don't go for his pump fake down low, it'll be hard for him to score because he has no lift. So that's frustrating in itself. So he has to hit a lot of threes to open it up for his drives. And I think he's lost a little confidence. I mean, I really do. And that's normal. It's normal. That's why I was telling people they're going to miss David Lee because last year Draymond lost a little confidence and David Lee came in. And David Lee's a great passer and can shoot and can get in there. And it kind of changed the whole series. It was one of those series they were down 2-1, and David Lee really saved them on that throwback to the top.
I agree. I thought that was critical when they let David Lee go. And a lot of people also got on Mark Jackson when he was coaching because a big reason he got out there is because the big Australian dude, I can't think of his name right now. I hate when I forget the player's name.
Bogut.
Yes. You know, Mark Jackson was trying to light a fire under him because when it comes to playoffs, he just doesn't show up. And right now he's not showing up either. And
is who he is. That's who he is.
He he is who he is.
That's who he is.
Regular
season
is a different story. Yeah. No, you're right. We've all played with players.
Is who he is. Bogut is who he is. Azili is who he is.
Draymond definitely is.
Livingston off the bench.
He's definitely lost a little bit of confidence. I'm not quite sure he'll be able to bounce back exactly the way he needs to bounce back for them to possibly even
the
win
only
this
people
game
that
at home.
The only people that scare me on that team is only three people out of the whole team. Steph, Clay, and Iguodala. That's it. Everybody else is just okay. Everybody else is okay, you know? Those guys can play. They know how to play. Everybody else is okay.
Well, there you have it, guys, with Draymond Green. So you're not thinking he's going to get a big-time contract for next season?
Oh, he's going to get a big-time contract because of reputation. They won the championship, and he is a fire. You know, a fire. No, he got one last year. He's a great fit for them. You know, he's a great fit for them. So, yeah, he's a good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player. But would he scare me if I was preparing for him, if I was OKC? No. No. I mean, Steph, Clay, and Iguodala. I mean, that's who – those are the players right there. And they make everything better for everybody else, but those three guys can play.
Well, Vince, it's been nice talking it up with you. I know you got a lot to get going on the rest of the day, and we will definitely do this again next week. Let's say so. Who are your picks for the NBA Finals? Who's going to be in the Finals? And just give me that your last opinion on that.
The Finals from the East, Cleveland, and I believe OKC will take them out either tonight or the next game. Hopefully tonight, but Golden State's tough though. So hopefully OKC and Cleveland.
And who you have winning between? I'll save that for the next show.
I'm with you.
Right along with you, Vincent. I'll go with the NBA pro on this because you played in the NBA. I didn't play in the NBA, although that would have been a great dream of mine. But I did.
But you just
the
like
players.
The NBA for women. WNBA is the same exact
thing. Yeah, I played in the WNBA. I mean, I did follow. I was a Magic Johnson fan. I followed all the guys, all the players. But I would say it's going to be OKC and Cleveland. I don't have any doubt that OKC is not going to win this series, and Cleveland obviously is going to come out of the East. And our next show, we'll talk about who wins that series. But thanks for chiming in with me, and thanks for everyone out there listening. This is True Sports Talk Radio with Chastity Melvin, and we'll see you again soon.
Chastity time.
Later, Vincent.
Fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Thanks. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never wanted no handout. I stand out. Patience needed in this game. I never ran out. All I ever wanted was a victory. Run a circle around competition like it was 6 to 9. I gave everything on the court. And when it's all over, let them say I was a true sport.